Okay, so what was the inspiration behind Good Morning America, Johnny Johnson Dream Show?
I guess it's something that I thought about for a while and then felt impelled to do. And it was a very strange experience. I have written a book and I have written a few plays and several adaptations of plays. But this one was an extremely different experience because what I found was that I would sit down at the computer and I had absolutely no idea of what I wanted to really say, and then the characters would start talking to me. And I had done a lot of research because there are subjects that I'm trying to deal with in the play that are things that I feel are very topical, to an audience today. And one of the things I'm trying to do with the theater is to do theater that's entertaining and provocative and talks to people today, that they can maybe come to the theater and have a good time and also think about their lives a little bit. And the experience has been quite wonderful for me, but very strange because I like to think that I can kind of be organized and in control of things, and it's more the characters that were telling me what to do than me telling them what to say.
So can you tell us a little bit about the story without giving too much away? Because I mean, I think it's incredibly unique. You don't see too many shows like
Yeah,
this.
I know. It's like you start to talk about some of the characters that are in the play who are. It's a play that takes place in. Actually, at the moment, it now takes place in the green room before the show, which is something that I did because I had originally thought of doing it in the studio during the show, and because we were not sure how much money we had for the production, I decided that I had to think of it as a 5-cent production and to do it as simply as possible, and it ended up being in the green room, which actually I think is kind of interesting. Because there is the main character who is a morning broadcast journalist who is considered to be someone who is honest and truthful and a good reporter, who is wants to do a particular report, and the producers decide to tell him at the last minute that he can't do it, and he's very angry, and he goes in the green room, and he ends up falling asleep. And during this period, a lot of dead people who have things to say about life and problems that we're dealing with today in the world that we somehow never seem to listen to, no matter how long they have been in our spirits, start to come back and discuss what's going on today during his dream. And it just the play is black humor, and it gets fairly wacky at some times, but in a what I think is very logical, dreamlike way. And that's all I'm going to say. It'll run probably between under an hour and a half, certainly. And it just moves along with all these things that are going on, and then has a, I think, kind of maybe a surprise ending. It'll depend on each member of the public and what their spirit is as to whether they think it's a surprise or not.
So tell us a little bit about the cast because you need a special group of people to kind of be able to pull this off.
Well, the theater company, the Accidental Repertory Theater, is something that I started after I came back to New York, and part of the reason I did come back to New York is because I have a particular history in terms of both my family and the work that I have done, which I've done in many parts of the world. And I felt a sense of responsibility in coming back to New York, both as a teacher and as a theater person, simply because there are things that I feel that I was lucky to have been raised in and lucky to be a part of, that I think are not functioning in the same way as they were. and I think that things should get better, not get worse. therefore, I came back, and it took me several years before I decided that I was going to start another organization, because anyone who has ever had an organization knows that you have to think very carefully about it, because everyone tells you that they're working for you, but fundamentally you're working for everybody else. And it's not an easy thing to do, and I think especially in New York now. But I wanted the company both in order to do what I thought would be relevant contemporary realities, even in some classical plays, which I think are very relevant to today, and also that I wanted the work in the company to be deeply personal and what I think is the spirit of really good American acting. And I think that we get very confused about that, because I think a lot of times nowadays people in the profession confuse naturalism with reality, and it's not really the same. Reality has a much more deeply personal involvement in it. There's not just a casual kind of seemingly human and natural attitude that I think a lot of actors have without the other. So I have tried very hard to develop that spirit, and we have a professional workshop. This production in particular is unusual because I found myself in a situation, because of the variety of characters, that I could not cast it just out of the workshop, and therefore there are a lot of new people, and some of them understand what I want in terms as a director, in terms of their involvement, but a lot of them don't quite have the habit, and we'll see during the production how much of that really gets achieved. You know, I think it's going to be a good theater evening. I always, as a director, at the end of the day, my responsibility is that people that are coming and paying money enjoy themselves. And that means whether it's a comedy, whether it's a tragedy, whatever it is, that I think it has to be good theater. I think otherwise people don't, they're not going to listen to anything that you're saying. I know I wouldn't. I get bored very quickly, which is one of the reasons that I think I'm good at what I do, because I get bored first. And I think it's important. You know, I think that that's an important part of the creative process, really, because if you don't get bored, you don't find out what you really want to do. And today, especially with all the, we're inundated with information, and we can keep ourselves busy all the time, and I'm not always sure that that's such a good thing.
Considering that, who do you think would get the most out of this performance? What demographic?
I hope to get a wide demographic. I don't think it breaks down into ages. I don't think it breaks down into political affiliations. I think it breaks down to people who like to have a good time, who like to be stimulated, who, if they go to the theater, don't just want to be entertained. They also would like to see things that relate to their lives nowadays, you know, and some of the problems that we're having, which for some reason I don't think are really getting discussed.
Okay, I'm going to give you.
You know, that's what I'm hoping, that the theater will build its audience and will find its audience. This is something that I think is very important, you know, and I know that a lot of the nonprofit theaters, you know, make an extraordinary effort to identify themselves and to search a particular public. But what I would like is a public that likes to go to the theater and wants to be entertained, to have a good time, and you know, what I've said, you know, which may not sound very special, but I think it is when you find it.
Okay, I'm going to give you a hypothetical here. Let's just say someone's, you know, walking by the theater and they kind of see, you know, the marquee, or they see the sign for the show, and they say, why should I see this? What would you say to them?
I'd say that's a good question. why does one do anything? You know, most of the time you do it because there's something that intrigues you, or you've heard someone. You know, I think real success has to do with word of mouth, no matter how much money one spends on advertising. And I think that one of the difficulties of working in New York now in small theaters where you don't have a lot of money is that you work under the showcase code so that you only have 20 performances. And very often I think that what the problem is that people discover you when you're closing. And I don't know how to fix that. You know, I'm just hoping that we will get lucky enough, both with perhaps a little bit of our publicity, and, you know, I hope that some of the critics come not so much to tell me what I'm doing, because I'm a professional and I think that I'm the one that knows, but maybe someone will come and like it enough to write about it so that people, when people nowadays, when people are looking to go to the theater, there's so much to do and there's so many choices to make that it's very, very hard. And I go to the theater myself and I look and I try to find what's interesting and what's going on, and we're a small theater. And even though I have an international reputation, I'm not the most famous person in the world, but nonetheless I have an international reputation, and I do have a family name, which some people over 50 maybe will remember. it's very hard to get attention in New York, and this is a big problem. And I don't know how to solve that. I just think that one has to work very hard, and then you hope that you get lucky. In the same way that someone walking by the theater may say, oh, what is that? And then if they read a little bit of something, say, oh, yeah, oh, it's a news show. Well, what's interesting? Oh, and there's all these dead people that come back during the show. That sounds like it might be fun. Maybe it's interesting. And maybe they'll come and see it.